ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
This is Roots and Shoots, ABC Radio Perth's gardening podcasts twice a week. I'm Michael Tetlow. It's the gardening show for green thumbs and aspiring horticulturalists alike, and the wonderful Sabrina Hahn is here to answer all of your curly questions. Hi, Sab.
Hello, Tets.
What season are we in, Sabrina?
So this season is actually really interesting because it makes people understand that the seasons of spring, summer, autumn and winter is only part of the seasonal thing, isn't it? So that's where we look at the Aboriginal seasonal calendar, which has six seasons, because there's really subtle differences. So we have early summer, high summer, late summer / beginning of autumn. So during those months, we see a transition. So the weather is still really, really warm. Like the daytime weather is beautiful.
It is.
It's you know, cooler at night, but not cold. So in this season, it's a transition season. So I reckon it's still summer, but it's like a mild summer. However, the thing that's different is the daylight hours are shortening. Did you see the moon come up last night?
Yeah, I did. It was incredible.
What a cracker.
Yeah.
We were down at the river and just came up over the rise, and it was like this.
Yeah. What does the garden make of all this? I mean,
well, definitely the moon has an impact on everything on the planet. Certainly we know it has a huge effect on tides. And because plants are made up with moisture, it must have an effect on plants. So some people swear by gardening by the cycles of the moon, you know, where they put root vegetables in on a full moon, they sow seeds of different things on a new moon. I never have time to do it. I just snatch an hour where I have it regardless of what's happening with the moon and hope for the best. But the other subtle difference now is, you know, pretty soon the frogs will emerge if ever we get any water in the form of rainfall. Birds will change their flight patterns. Different food sources will be out, so you will start to see different insects. You'll see lizards coming out. It's really subtle changes like that that now we have to be far more aware of. So because we're in this change in climate, and they call it climate creep, so our summers are now extending into autumn. So we really have to be far more observant with what's going on around us. So even though you can see some of the pears and the ashes and the elms, the leaves are starting to change colour, but that is not going to – it won't be a sudden thing. That's going to be a very slow creep this year because of the heat in the daytime, even though it's lessening the sunlight hours. But have a look at birds. Check out what the birds are doing and which birds are visiting your garden. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
You'll notice all those subtle differences.
What about the oranges? Because my orange tree, they're getting quite big now. And this is the time of year they generally start changing colour.
Yeah.
So will this have much of an impact there?
Yes. Mine are still green as green.
Are they?
Yep. Absolutely green as. But strangely enough, all my grapefruit have now ripened.
Have they?
Which is weird.
Yeah.
But they're protected by a mulberry and a fig. Maybe that's made a little microclimate. But it will be interesting with citrus because citrus does take, you know, 9-10 months to mature and to colour up. So I reckon the citrus this year are just going to go bang orange overnight.
Yeah. Jo from Jalorup says she's got a passion fruit black nugget. It's got hundreds of flowers, but the flowers drop off before the fruit sets. It gets plenty of water and fertiliser. I've noticed heaps of ants all over the vine. Is that the problem, says Jo?
No, in fact, the ants are probably the only thing that are pollinating the flowers, but I would suggest that your flowers are not fertile. I don't think there's pollen in the flowers.
Right.
So you need to have a little tap, tap, tap on the anthers. They're those little paddles that sit on top. Have a little get your fingers in there and have a little play. And if there's no pollen left on your fingers, forget it. You won't get any fruit because it's not making pollen. It's not having the sexual experience that it needs.
This person says, speaking of birds in the garden, we discovered a babook owl living in our macadamia tree, most likely because of the plague of mice they had in January.
Oh, how wonderful. Yeah. That is the only thing that I could ever say is useful for mice and rats is they feed owls, as long as you do not use secondary poisoning baits, which then you knock off your owls.
Yeah, we don't want that.
No.
All right, Serena, we'll get into some questions. Hi, Trevor.
How you going?
Yeah, good. Tell us about your mandarin tree.
Serena, excuse me. The mandarins are falling off the tree and they're not ripe.
Right.
The skins are very, very thin.
Oh, okay. Now, Trevor, where are you?
Busso.
Oh, you're in Busso. Okay, so Busselton has experienced really dry weather. Now, thin skins can be a cause of lack of trace elements, in particular nitrogen, iron and magnesium. So now, if you don't get enough moisture in the ground, the root system of the mandarin tree can't uptake the nutrients. So it might be a combination of drying soil, and even if you're watering, unless you've used a wetting agent, the water may not be penetrating through.
No, I had a wetting agent.
Oh, yeah, you've had that and they've had plenty of water?
No, it's stuck in the middle of my lawn and the
sprinklers. Oh, yeah, well, okay, so... sounds to me like it's getting... I reckon it's a trace element deficiency, Trevor. You're going to have to get some trace elements onto it.
All right. Thanks, Sabrina.
Okay, thanks
for
Trevor.
Calling in, Trevor. 1-300-222-720. Let's go to Joe in Durian Bay. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, really well. Now, you've got a grass tree, I hear.
I do. We moved into a house in Durian Bay about 2 years ago, and there's a... the grass tree was planted when the house was built, which was 2007, so it's about 17 years old.
Yep.
It had a water, like a conduit thing around it, which we removed.
Yeah.
But my question for you, honey, is how often do we water and feed this?
Okay.
This beautiful specimen.
Okay, so it's been in the ground for 17 years, Joe. So
yes.
You can cut right back now and you can water it. I would give it 9 litres of water once every fortnight.
Okay, yep. Cool, thank you.
It will not need more than that. The main reason they die is people overwater them.
Well, that's what I'm, that's the last thing I want to happen. What about feeding it?
Well, no, I wouldn't.
No. Just let it be.
You could put a little bit of compost around the top of it.
Okay.
But honestly, I wouldn't feed it, Joe. I wouldn't. It's been there for 17 years. It's it's made its own way in the world.
Yes,
you don't want to tinker. No tinkering.
No. Okay. Last question. Should we mulch? Because you know, with durian, it's quite sandy, but if we put some mulch around it, just keep it away from the trunk, we'll be good.
Yes, definitely mulch it, Joe.
Yeah, good on you, Joe. Yep. Joe's lucky, isn't she, to have the transplant has stayed and stayed the course.
Because it can take up to 5 years for a grass tree to die.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember saying that before.
And it can be quite fickle. Mm. Mind you, if I stood in the one place for 100 years
and someone,
and then someone uprooted me and then went, no, you're going to be over there now, I'd probably go, oh, I don't like it here.
So hang on a tick. Yeah. It's not what I signed up for 100 years ago. All right, Tony's in Narrogin. And Tony, you've got some pumpkins?
Good afternoon, garden gurus. Sabrina, I've got a couple of hassles. I'll give you my first one.
Mm-hmm.
Sabrina, my pumpkins... are growing tentacles like they're on steroids.
Yeah.
But there's no fruit, Sabrina. And the whole bushes are covered in bees, but I've only got a couple of pumpkins.
Okay,
what is your problem, please?
Okay, the problem is you've probably got all male flowers and no female flowers.
All right, so how do I fix that situation?
So, you know, you've got those tendrils going everywhere, Tony. I want you to cut them back. How long are they? Like super long?
Oh, hang on. I'd say approximately the old measurement, 7-8 foot.
Okay, so I want you to take them back to 4 foot.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
yep.
Because I would say you've got all male flowers, and if you cut back the tendrils, that initiates female flowers. What you might need to do, although you said you had plenty of bees, have you got lots of bees?
Oh, yeah, the whole backyard's full of honeybees. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, your problem is that the boys are all keen and the girls are a bit shy. So.
Oh, yeah, that's why.
That's not unusual.
That's right.
Yeah, that's been my problem all my life, Deborah.
Well, the thing is, you just got to cut the boys back a bit. Their enthusiasm by cutting those tendrils back. And then that will initiate side shoots, and on the side shoots you'll get the girly flowers.
Okay. Now my second problem, Sabrina. Yep. My grapes the last 2 years have been a complete wipeout with mildew.
Oh.
I watched Gardening Australia, and this year I tried milk and water.
No. Milk and water, no, useless. Only a preventative, Tony. So, So that's
so
good.
So, what do I do next year, please?
Okay, so this winter, I want you to give all of your passion fruit a spray with lime sulfur, and then at bud burst, you're going to spray them with wettable sulfur, and that will prevent both grape leaf blister mite and also powdery mildew.
Now, with all these tentacles going everywhere, Sabrina, on me grapes, how much do I cut them back, please?
Hard. Two-thirds, Tony. Go hard.
You do.
I like a hard prune.
Good on you, Tony. Thanks for getting in. Chat text line, Sabrina.
Yes.
Kieran wants to know, how do you identify a melon for jam making?
Ah, the old-fashioned jam melons. Mm. Yeah, you actually need to cut one open. So jam melons are much smaller. They're very seedy, but they're very.
Yeah, that's right. I hang around dark places at night, and
they do.
Yes.
They're not really bitter, but they're not sweet. So don't mix up the jam melon with the bitter melon. So bitter melons are tiny, weeny, and the bush is prickly as hell. So the jam melons are the size of a softball, a bit bigger than a softball, really.
Yeah.
And they won't have all the prickly foliage. And when you cut them open, there will be quite a lot of seed, but you'll get lots of flesh.
Mm. All right. Rhiannon's on the phone. Rhiannon, hello. You've got an orange tree in a pot, I hear.
Yes, I have a dwarf orange in a pot. It's been in the pot for quite a few years, and it's growing quite all right, but I have a problem with ants in the pot. And I've tried during the whole dunking the whole pot in water, but I've now it's now grown to the size where I've got a pot that's bigger than anything I
can. Yeah, you can't.
And I've tried diatomaceous earth. And I just can't seem to. I'm not quite sure what else to try.
Okay, what you have to do now is give it a sticky bottom.
Ooh.
So now the answer there, because they're after scale or an insect that secretes a sticky honeydew. So they come up, they go with the honeydew. And they move the ants, or the ants move the scale or the aphids around. They farm them and they put them in new feeding areas. So you'll need to spray for the suckers first. So once you spray for the suckers, then what you're going to do is you're going to actually make a collar around the base of the tree, the orange tree, and you're going to so this can't go directly on the trunk of the tree. You've got to use, Velcro, okay? And then on the outside of the Velcro, you can get this thing. It's a sticky horticultural glue that you paste around on top of the Velcro. And the ants cannot crawl through it. They get stuck in it.
Mm.
So unless you've got the the tree near lots of other plants that have aphids and scale and ants, they'll go from tree to tree. But if it's isolated, then the you could even put it around the outside rim of the pot. In fact, I do that too.
Okay, so the ants are inside. I'm thinking they're living inside the pot as well. So if I did that, would they eventually
die?
Leave?
Yep. Well, you'll capture them. They'll get stuck.
Okay.
Mm.
All right. I'll and I could get that glue from just a, any.
Yep, from a nursery, not necessarily a hardware store.
Okay.
And you can get it online as well. If you can't find it, then Rhiannon, just make up your own. Get some Vaseline, and then put some eucalyptus oil in it.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
All right, wonderful. I'll give those a go.
Okay, well done.
Thank you very much.
Now, Sabrina, on our text line.
Yes.
This person asks, this is an interesting question. Uh-huh. I have too many crickets in the backyard. How do I get rid of them?
Oh, good luck.
Yes. go around and I remember, do you remember the great locust plague of 1990? Were you around for that?
Yeah.
I remember up at my grandparents' place at Clackline, going around killing them with lucky bands. They were everywhere. I thought I was helping.
I had to drive somewhere in the country and there were plagues. It was like walls.
It was unbelievable.
And all the birds on the side of the road couldn't fly. They were so full.
Yeah.
They were chockers full of birds. I do remember it. Mm. And everyone in the country had to put wire mesh in front of their...
Go through the radiator and clog it all up.
Yeah. So crickets, very difficult to control, and you really have to get them in their juvenile stage. Mm. There is a spray that you could use, but I wouldn't bother because you'd have to spray your entire garden because they just move so fast. Mm. I'd call the magpies in.
Yeah.
The wattle birds are the go.
Is that right?
Wattlebirds love crickets and grasshoppers. And the wattlebirds take on those dirty, great big ones from up north.
Yeah, okay.
That are
brave things, those wattlebirds.
Yeah.
Are they the ones that chase the magpies and get into blues?
Everything. Yeah. They'll pick a fight with anyone. They'll knock off about 100 crickets a day.
Yeah. Good. All right. Greg's also texted in. He says, I've cut my strawberry plants back to nothing. Is that the right thing to do to get new fruit next year?
Yep. Because mine are looking very poorly and in that heat just didn't do well at all. So I've cut mine almost down to ground level. If they survive, good. If not, bad luck. I'll go and buy some more.
All right. Let's go to Troy. Hello, Troy.
Hey, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good. You've got a replanting issue.
Yeah. Hey, Sabrina, long time listener, first time caller.
Oh, Troy, welcome.
Yeah, so I've been watching a bit of YouTube, and we've got an elk horn, and we've gone out to the woods, and we've secured a nice piece of wood to mount it to.
Yeah.
So we've got it all strapped under there and wrapped in the stocking and the correct moss and that.
Yeah.
But we're just wondering about its water regime from now on in.
Okay.
You know, like.
Okay, yeah. So Wes, it's still really warm, and you've just re-boarded it. How long ago did you do that, Troy?
On Saturday.
Okay, so it's quite fresh. Now,
yes,
you're better off using a mister than your hose, or put the hose spray on a light mist, and I want you to mist it every 3 days.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yep. So don't give it anything. Just give it water.
Just the H2O.
Yeah, just the H2O at this point in time till it starts developing its lovely little paddle front.
Okay.
So it'll take a while for them to develop that foothold. But don't overwater it because people water it every day and then it rots.
Yes, well, that sounds feasible, especially on the woods, you know. So you don't want to get that rot.
That holds some moisture. Yep.
Yeah.
So a very light spray. Yep. Once every 3 days.
Oh, beautiful. Yep. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, Troy, thanks for being a keen listener and a first-time caller.
Thanks for getting in touch, Troy. It's good to hear from you. Now, on this topic, Sue from Dalyellup's been in touch on the text line. She says she inherited a 50-year-old staghorn. It fell off its backing board last week. She's devastated. And she's cut back a lot of the old dead leaves from behind. It lost one of its reproduction leaves as well. What is my way forward here? Can I cut it in half? Now, she sent through a photo, and I'll bring that up for you, Sabrina.
Wow.
That is big.
What a cracker. That is. Wow. So for people that can't see what we're looking at, this staghorn is the size of a builder's wheelbarrow and it actually goes all over the side.
Even bigger, yeah.
That will weigh an absolute ton. Now, the big problem when they're this old is it's very difficult to remount them because of the weight.
Yeah.
So you have to mount them flat on the ground and strap them to the new mounting. Or the other thing is you can actually get your reciprocating saw.
Yes.
And you can cut them into like chunks, slabs.
Mm.
You'll see where each horn meets. So you cut in between the horns. That is going to be really, really heavy to manhandle. You may have to, even if you just cut it in half and then remount it. So staghorns and elkhorns are much better on real wood rather than the whatever pretend wood is called.
MDF?
Yep, MDF.
Chipboard?
Chipboard?
Yeah.
Any of that stuff? Or
Jarrah?
Marine
is Jarrah
pie?
The guy?
Yeah, but you'd never get a piece of jarrah that big now.
No, you'd have to cut down a very old growth tree for that.
Yeah, so just you get some real wood. Now, people put sphagnum moss and, you know, they soak it in, which I used to do, soak it in seaweed solution and, I don't know, hocus pocus stuff. You don't actually – the big thing is you've got to stop the air pocket. So some of that dead stuff that's behind, you can cut all that off so you can push the elkhorn and the staghorn flat against the board so that there isn't a big air pocket in between. That's going to be your best bet.
All right. Too. Paul's in Secret Harbour. Hello, Paul.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a wish list. I've got a I'm looking for a plant that I can grow in a long hedge. I did send in a photo of it. I'm not sure if you're able to see it. It just runs parallel to the road. And it's gets full sun in winter and summer.
Yeah.
And ideally, I'd like a plant that I can keep up to, like hedge it along there, keep it around about 2 foot high maximum.
Yeah.
And ideally, something that once it's established, I don't need to water it because it's not connected to the reticulation.
Okay. What about Callistemon All Aglow?
Callistemon All Aglow. Okay. That sounds great, doesn't it?
Yeah. The flowers are actually really beautiful and it doesn't get too wide. There's another Callistemon called Slim.
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 Named after the Slim at Savage.
Ah, oh, indeed. Indeed. And as floriferous.
Is that the same?
As Slim.
Oh, I see.
So that's a Callistemon as well. They'd be my pick actually because you're going to get all the reflected heat off the road.
Yes, yeah, that's why I thought I'd mention that.
Mm, yeah.
All right. And so what, a couple of years of establishing and then they slowly wean them off the water?
Yeah, definitely. They'll be right as rain. Well, hopefully we get rain that is right eventually.
Yes. Mm. Oh, that's great advice. Thank you very much. I'll look up a picture of it.
No worries, Paul.
Okay. Thank you.
Is the number to ring. Now, Sabrina, this person asks, do you need to replace potting mix every now and again or is it good for years?
No, not good. It's only good for 1 year.
1 year, is that all?
1 year is all you get.
And you've got to pull it out of the pot and...
Well, there's no... So what you do is it's like, do you know, it's like when you've baked a pudding and it hasn't quite turned out and you have to take the burnt bit off and wait for the good bit to rise.
Yeah.
So it's a bit similar with potting mix.
Right.
So what you have is you have your wheelbarrow of your replacement cake mix and in that wheelbarrow will be half a bag of new potting mix and then half a bag of compost.
Right, okay.
And you're going to mix all that together. Then with your hand trowel, you're going to dig out the burnt bits of the pudding, which is the dry, gutless bits of pine bark that's left from your old potting mix.
Right.
And you're going to replace it with the new puddin mix. So you have to do that every year.
We'll go now to Ivy. She's in Double View. Hello, Ivy.
Hi, how are you all? Okay?
Yeah, good, Ivy. Good. Good.
Yeah. Sabrina, I have a blueberry which is in a pot. It's only just the first year.
Yeah.
I just want to know how far back I can prune it.
Oh, it's only a year old, Ivy. Don't you be too hasty with your secateurs.
No, I have just done the tip pruning, but
yes.
I didn't really take it any further.
Okay, so I wouldn't take any more than 6 centimetres off it.
Well, it's probably just as well I put the secateurs down when I did them, isn't it?
It's a little bit young to go hard on it, Ivy.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
Okay.
It's still in a pot. It's not
yep.
that big. So I
okay. Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So a light prune, Ivy. Light
okay.
prune.
Okay. Thank you, as always, for your advice. Thank you.
No worries.
Thanks.
Bye, Ivy.
Thanks, Ivy. We've got back onto Rob, Sabrina. Hello.
Ah,
hello, Rob.
Hi, guys. So I've got a really, really bushy passion fruit.
Yep.
And it looks absolutely green. It's fantastic. It's about 3 years old and it's growing everywhere. So I'm like, it goes about 10 metres and it's about a metre wide off my fence.
Yep.
So one flower I happened to have noticed 2 days ago and I went back to have a look and it closed back up again.
Oh.
And that's the only flower I've had. And I thought, this should be prolific in how green it is and how fertile
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
But no fruit.
No, just one flower, which I noticed 2 days ago, and I had a look yesterday, and it closed back up again.
So it's a shy little flower. How old did you say it was, Rob?
About 3 years.
Oh. Have you had fruit yet?
Not a thing. As I said, it's the first flower they've actually noticed on it.
Okay, so passion fruit are like a kid in front of a Easter egg bowl. They need to eat the whole lot before they feel happy. So with that passion fruit, you have to fertilize.
Oh,
they're
okay,
really
yeah.
hungry feeders, Rob. And you must put trace elements on.
I do. So I didn't. I have fertilized it, but I haven't put any trace elements
okay,
on.
Okay, so they need trace elements and you have to do it along the whole root run. So wherever the passion fruit is growing, you fertilise all along that line.
What, 10 metres?
Yep, 10 metres.
Okay.
That's your exercise for the week.
That's not a problem. I shall call you back if I have any success. Thank you very
Beautiful.
Much.
Beautiful. Thanks, Rob.
Rob, you'd be fighting fit by the end of the week.
Yep.
Suzanne is called in from Albany. Hello, Suzanne.
How are you going?
Yeah, good.
Good. You might remember me, Sabrina. I'm the Mallee Fowl girl from Ongar, but I'm now
Oh, yes, I do remember you, Suzanne. Such an awesome place. Awesome place.
Yeah. Anyway, I've retired to Albany.
Yeah.
Just quickly, I've got a peppermint tree out in my verge and I've had lawn there, but the peppy started to take it over.
Yeah.
And the rabbits seem to be taking over the rest. I want to rip that. I'm going to rip that out.
Yeah.
And I just want some advice on what to plant. I've been told some native grasses, maybe coria and maybe a few more prostate grevillea out further that get a bit of sun.
Yep.
Have you got some advice on either of those three? What
yeah.
would be the best?
So the coria alba is probably one of the toughest ones for down there. Coriolina.
What colour flower does that have?
Well, it's alba, so white flower.
White.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, right.
There's
okay, yeah.
Coriolina, or called the basket bush. That is beautiful. Then you've got the wire wattle with yellow flowers.
Yeah.
And then you've got hypercalama.
They take shade.
I'm giving you all the stuff that takes shade.
Yep,
then you've got the hypercalama.
Hypercalama.
Yeah, H-Y-P.
Yeah.
O-C-A-L.
Yeah.
Y-double-M-A.
Right, okay.
That takes shade.
Yep.
And there's hypercalama coconut ice and angustifolia. They look quite different, so that's nice to get those two. You could put in some native grasses. You could put in, there's a beautiful poa, P-O-A, called Kingsdale. That's a soft grey-green. Which is
Kingsdale grass, is it?
Yes, yeah, poa, P-O-A.
P-O-A.
Yeah, poa, Kingsdale. That should get you started.
All right, Suzanne. Sounds good. This is ABC Radio Perth and WA. Sabrina, it's nearly time for the end. We've got one more, so we'll do one more question.
Let's do it.
Martin's texted in a photo of his gum tree. He says, it must be at least 9 metres high. Is it dying?
Oh, that is not looking good.
It's not the polyphagus, is it?
No, too hard to tell. That looks like it's cactus.
What a shame.
Well, prune it, wetting agent, don't fertilise it, prune it, wetting agent, water it, see how it goes.
All right. Thanks for listening.
You can join us live on Tuesdays from 2:30 p.m.
Head to abc.net.au/Perth or listen to ABC Perth on DAB or 7:20 a.m.
Text your questions in on 0437 922 720.
Or better still, call us in the studio, 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back on the weekend to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on your favourite podcast player.
And share the episode with all your friends.